I'm Avi Wolfman here, and thanks so much for tuning in. During the pandemic, community health workers have played a key role in helping with vaccine access in underserved communities. In 2020, President Joe Biden pledged to create 150,000 community health worker jobs across the country. Experts say that could play an important role in bridging health disparities moving forward. For WHYY, Sojourner Ahebe has this look.
In 1993, Nahar Alam fled her home in Bangladesh to escape an abusive husband. She arrived in Brooklyn in her mid-20s with little English and no family to accompany her.
I came to this country to survive.
She found work as a babysitter, working 12-hour shifts without time off, only making $75 a week. But she met other immigrant women in similar situations.
So I found there is nobody to listen to us.
Alam became an advocate, linking women to legal services, and now she's a program associate at the DREAM Initiative, a community health worker program that addresses the burden of cardiovascular disease in New York City's Bangladeshi community. Community health workers tend to share life experiences with the people they serve, so they can leverage trust in unique ways.
They tend to be empathic, non-judgmental, better listeners than talkers.
That's Shreya Kangovi, an associate professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania and a leading national expert on the impact of community health workers in improving population health. She says community health workers take a broad approach to health. They help with anything from getting a client's heat turned back on to helping you get medication covered by insurance. Nahar Alam remembers a former Bangladeshi immigrant client with diabetes who kept missing her checkup appointments at the hospital. The doctor had no idea why she wasn't showing up. After many attempts to reach her by phone, Alam visited her home.
And then I found that she doesn't know how to go out. She's an immigrant woman, and then she has one son who works in a feed store, and he works 7 days, so who's going to bring her to hospital?
Alam's client didn't know how to read in English and couldn't traverse public transportation on her own. So Alam brought her client along on the subway ride to the hospital and showed her key signs and landmark buildings to look out for to find her way.
And I heard the next day she tried to go herself to visit her brother in the city somewhere. So her lifestyle changing, she learned how to go outside and meet the doctor.
When Shreya Kangovi and her team interviewed over 1,500 high-risk patients in Philadelphia about what makes it hard for them to stay healthy, many answered that their doctors often didn't understand the reality of their lives.
Mr. Jones, you need to take your Lasix. Well, I need to keep my job as a bus driver and I can't stop to pee every 30 minutes.
Kangovi says physicians are trained to look at risk factors like heart disease when treating poor health. But that's not the only part.
What we are calling risk factors are just, in fact, intervening mechanisms. And actually, the cause of cardiovascular disease is the underlying socioeconomic conditions.
And despite good intentions, doctors don't often see the full spectrum of inequity patients are up against. Results from 3 randomized trials Kangovi led evaluating the impact of community health workers show that transferring power to trusted individuals like Alam moves the needle on long-standing health disparities.
They found that it reduced both 3 kind of variables, the frequency of hospitalizations, the mean length of stay, and also the frequency of hospital shopping, which is not a term that I love, but this is when a patient is admitted to one hospital and then gets discharged and goes to another hospital.
Now Kangovi and her colleagues are working to scale up this already 60,000 strong workforce in hospitals and other health systems across the country, develop national labor standards, and identify ways to sustain federal funding for years to come. For WHYY News, I'm Sojourner Ahebe.